Hi, this is Circe Olson Wessner. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family, and this is our podcast, Together We Serve. My guest today is Christian Durante, and Christian reached out to the museum a couple of months ago to tell us the story of his grandfather, Angelo Durante, and today we're going to have a conversation about how we ourselves can delve into our family history and why it's important to share stories. So welcome to the podcast, Christian.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. I feel very honored and privileged to be here. Appreciate you welcoming me to the podcast and the opportunity for me to tell my story.
Well, it's that's our mission. The mission is to share stories and to have dialogue. So how we met, you and I, is that you reached out to the museum via email to ask me if I'd be interested in a copy of your grandfather's story for the archives. And of course, I said yes. But I wanted to know, how did you hear about the museum in the first place? We're always kind of curious, where did people learn about us? Because especially you don't live anywhere near New Mexico.
I have cousins in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, but I will say I found the museum, the center, Google search. My grandfather's story is very important to me. I wanted to tell his story, and I was trying to find outlets to tell his story to basically have, you know, a footprint and to make sure that his story is being told. And your center museum came up on the Google search, and it says military family. And he was a family man. You know, he served in the military. He served in federal service, but he was also a family man. And I felt that it would be a good fit to have in your museum archives.
Well, that's cool because you have an Albuquerque connection too. I mean, it is a very small world. So let's just start thinking about how this whole thing unfolded. So in your narrative, because we posted your grandfather's story on our blog, in your narrative about Grandpa Angelo, you mentioned finding a small box with some medals and some other mementos from his service. When you were a little kid, you found this, and that sparked your interest about what he did during World War II. Until you found the box, did you know anything about your grandfather's service or anything about him in general?
Well, yes, I did learn some interesting information about him. My grandmother was alive then. She told me information about my grandfather's service during World War II, his experiences. I lived with my grandma at the time. My grandfather, fortunately, he was deceased in 1976. So I didn't have the honor of knowing him. But my grandma, his wife, told me a little bit about him. And I remember 8 years old, it was a Saturday morning, and I was being nosy in my aunt's apartment like a little kid is. And I was looking through stuff, and I came across these mysterious boxes, and I'm opening them. It says Purple Heart in like a black case, a leather case. And also there's these blue metal cases that where the other medals were, the Bronze Star, the Purple Heart, the African Middle Eastern campaign, the Middle Eastern campaign, American campaign, the World War II victory medals. So I was just owning them and I'm wondering what they are. And even before this, you know, from what my grandma used to tell me, I used to watch World War II documentaries, read World War II books. And what I did was I basically, you know, this was like, wow, like this is my what my grandma told me, his experiences, and this is just part of it. And I got excited. I was like, you know, I have to, you know, I was very interested in finding this. Grandma did a great job in basically telling his experiences to me. And my aunt too.
Well, so, you know, I imagine that this next question I'm going to ask you is going to resonate with some of our listeners. They often ask me, or they'd like to know more about how can they get information about a service member and their family? So when you were a kid, obviously you had to ask your grandma or your aunt something about your grandpa, or you would go to the library and look up a book. But now that you're an adult and you've got more skills and more internet savvy, how did you go about piecing together what little information you had from your family side and putting it into a larger context?
I was very fortunate. I mean, I had my grandma that told me experiences, but Grandpa Angelo, he was just like how I am in present day. He keeps records of everything. And what he did was he kept records of his enlistment, his draft paperwork, his awards, his training records. He kept this. Now, this is interesting. He kept all the records up until he was shipped overseas to fight in Europe. He kept everything. And what also is good is what's interesting is my grandma kept it. Even after he passed away, we often hear sometimes the widows, you know, they either get rid of it or something. My grandma kept it. But also, guess what? His sister, Virginia, one of his sisters, because he's one of eight siblings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, eight siblings. His sister, Virginia, created a scrapbook of his training camp. Because he was in South Carolina. Right. And Spartanburg, South Carolina, Camp Croft, Spartanburg, California. And I found that scrapbook during my, trying to find out more of my grandfather. And the scrapbook shows pictures of him during his experiences. And those pictures are on the blog. And thank God she kept that scrapbook. That's just another piece of the history. So between the scrapbook, his records that he had, I had a good inkling of, okay, his training session. Mm-hmm. And his enlistment was covered. But what I didn't have was, okay, he now ships off to war. Okay.
Right.
I did not have any documentation of when when he shipped out to war. Because listen, you're fighting battles. He invaded, he was part of the invasion of Sicily. He was fighting in Naples, Ferrara, Sicily, Anzio. You know, he's not stopping to like file paperwork.
So, you know, he should be writing to his mother.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't find any letters that he wrote back. But what I did find was I went to the national, I emailed, this was during COVID and after COVID. What I did was I Googled the NRA. Yeah, NARA.
The National Records, the National Records Administration, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. And luckily, his record was not one of the 19 million, I believe, records that were destroyed during the 1973 fire. I mean, thank God. One of his records was, it was preserved. And they sent me back most of the paperwork I had from him saving the paperwork. But they did send back a couple pieces of paperwork I didn't have, pay stubs. I got his Purple Heart order from when he was awarded during the Purple Heart in July 1943 when he got shot in the left leg. They said where it happened, what happened, and how he was awarded the Purple Heart. Now, I got that paperwork done. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I got that paperwork from NRA. Now, but still, I wanted to know more. Like, I knew what battles he fought, and I wanted to know more about his experiences. But I could not get that from the NRA because, unfortunately, they tell you the personnel record.
Right. So let me interrupt really quick. So did you have to pay them to send you stuff? Tell us that process, because a lot of people don't know.
So you have to. So after a certain amount of paper that they send, you have to pay. I forgot the amount, but you do have to pay for the records. Like it's very minuscule in terms of what they charge for the paperwork. But I got the, paperwork. I paid the NRA, but then I also felt I needed to know basically what his experience was. So I hired a military researcher.
Oh.
I hired a military researcher, and with him, I basically did research. I joined a couple World War II history forums, like World War II historyforum.net. I Googled the World War II websites, and I looked in the forums of these World War II websites, and the same name kept on coming up. This guy named Jeff Gentini. He owns a military research company, and everyone said he's very good and everything. So I seeked him out and I hired him. It cost me about, ooh, say $230, $230. And it took about a year because it was during COVID. Now it's less amount, but he did research on my grandfather. Now he gave me like the op morning operation reports of the unit. He gave me the history of the units that my grandfather was part of. He gave me everything that the unit went through from when my grandfather landed on the beach of Sicily in the invasion to when he was discharged from the Ordnance Maintenance Company in September 1945. So this researcher did his work. He was very good. But guess what? He also let me know about a veterans claim file that was available for me as the next of kin, as the
Right away,
grandson.
the family. Wow.
Yeah. And I contacted the VA. The researcher gave me the veterans claim number. I contacted the VA. I wrote the veterans claim number. I filed the paperwork. And as the next of kin, you could request it on the VA website, the veterans claim form. And they sent me like mountains of like paperwork of my grandfather, of what he went through the war, like basically his wounds and his experiences. So not only did I have his unit history, I had his VA wounding history. And the poor guy, he got shot in the left leg. He got shrapnel in the left in the right leg twice. So that's two wounds. And then he got malaria, which counted as a wound that he got the Purple Heart for. He had like a serious bout of malaria that he almost passed away from, which I did not know about. All I knew about was that he got shot in the leg twice and he got shrapnel from a German grenade. I did not know about the malaria. So the VA file, again, you have to pay for it. It gets sent back and you have to pay for it. And they gave me that file. So that explained another part of his experience, especially after the war, like when he came back,
So this is cool. I have learned a lot just now talking to you. So this is going to be helpful to our listeners and also to me. That is amazing. Why don't you tell your you've given little indications now, but just sort of give us the story of Grandpa Angelo, but just go in order and tell us what you know about him.
Grandpa Angelo was born in 1917, and he was one of eight kids. And he worked hard. He was a hard worker. And during the what I discovered during this entire research process was after the Great Depression hit the country, he needed work. He needed work to support his family. And he was 21. His mom was a widower. His dad came over to the country in 1901. His dad actually served in the military, but the Italian military. His dad, my great grandfather Angelo Sr., served from 1897 to 1901 in the Italian military. And
No.
then, yeah, I found that out. Then in 1980. 01, he came over, and then my grandfather was born in 1917. So, in 19, in the 1930s, the Great Depression was really hitting hard America. My grandfather had to find a job, skills to basically raise, you know, to help put food on the table. So in 1938, he found out about the United States Civilian Conservation Corps in his home state of New York. And he signed up for it. He did a year tour duty, because back then you could do a year tour duty. He did that in Camp Almond, New York. He was he did reforestry projects. He, like, basically today's present day national parks were built by these Civilian Conservation Corps members. And he did, he built the camps, he built fire stations to prevent against forest fires. So he did that for a good year, and he earned some money as well. And this program put millions of men back to work, meaningful work in federal service, meaningful work. This is was one of President Roosevelt's programs to put millions of American men to work to help them during the Great Depression. And it was very, very, very good, because people, you know, men like my grandfather were put to work, and the money that he earned, he gave it back to his mom. So after a year he finished, he was discharged from the program, and then he went to work for a Ford radio motor company, helping install the radios of Ford. I didn't know Ford made radios, but they did. And he did that for 2 years, but guess what? World War II happened. So in February 1942, he enlisted, like millions of other Americans. He enlisted. And in July, well, let me go back. He trained. So he had to go down to he had to go down to Camp Croft in Spartansburg, Spartansburg, South Carolina. He trained for a couple months there. In July 1943, he was part of the invasion force to invade Sicily. So Operation, I believe Operation Husky? Yeah, he invaded Sicily, and he fought during an invasion of Sicily. He was part of the Battle of Baskara Airfield. He was part of that battle where the Germans and Italians were defending a airfield in Sicily, and he fought there. He fought in Naples, Foroga. He fought in Anzio, and he fought during all these battles. And what's crazy is he was, so during the opening salvo of the Sicilian campaign, he was wounded July 17, 1943. He got shrapnel in his leg from a grenade, and then he went to the hospital. But they discharged him in August 1943. You know, they sent him back. I mean, you get wounded, they send you back. You know, depending upon the wound, sometimes they send you home. But he got sent back to battle.
Right, then right.
He got wounded again in October. 1943, he got wounded again. He got shot in the left leg, and then in November he got shot again in the right toe, and he also got malaria. So poor guy, wounded three times, and then finally in December 1943 he was not taken out of the battle, but he was sent to a company that wasn't on the front lines. He was sent to the 3485 Ordnance Maintenance Company, which supplied shells, armor, which supplied artillery to the units. And what he did was he did clerk work there. He also did resupply jobs there. And he also supervised Italian prisoners of war. So after he got wounded three times, they sent him back away from the front lines. And then he did that for the rest of the war until he was discharged in September 1945. Now, what's crazy is, like, you know, he got discharged. Now, he got, you know, we often hear about veterans, they have trouble, you know, adjusting to civilian life. Now, imagine a world war, World War II. Mm-hmm. So millions of men are going back. Mm-hmm. My grandfather had his war injuries. Mm-hmm. He went back to his old job as a radio repairman in the mm-hmm. factory accepted mm-hmm. him. But unfortunately, he couldn't stand for long periods of time due to his war injuries.
Yeah.
So what happened was he had to leave that job for a while. He had mm-hmm. to leave that job mm-hmm. due to the war injuries. Mm-hmm. And what happened was he had the knowledge to apply to the VA mm-hmm. for disability. Mm-hmm. And he applied for them. The VA accepted, gave him 10% disability mm-hmm. for his war injuries, the bullet wounds, the shrapnel, the malaria. Mm-hmm. They gave him 10%. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He only took it for 2 years. He only took it from 19. These are all from the VA records that
right,
I've read.
Right.
He took it from 1946 to 1948, and then he got himself up on his feet. You know, mm-hmm. he became a sandwich delivery man for a mm-hmm. restaurant, and then he ended up owning a restaurant. And then he ended up in the vending machine business. So he only took that VA disability for 2 years, but it's an example of a federal program helping him to get back on his feet. And I'll be reminisced to say that, like millions of Americans coming back to war, he got married in 1946 to my grandma. So just wanted to add that.
Well, it's a story that is it resonates with, you know, everyone who thinks about these World War II generations of, you know, kind of the grit and the determination and the, you know, and the things that they did to once they came back and also there. So we talked about your grandfather's unit history. You know, you pieced together some, and then this researcher. I'm so floored about the researcher. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. What other methods of information gathering did you do? Did you go to libraries or use genealogy databases or military databases?
Yeah, I did a couple of things. What I did was I went to ancestry.com. Mm-hmm. I not only did I go to ancestry.com, I went to Fold3, which mm-hmm. is the sister site mm-hmm. of the ancestry.com. Yeah. I also went to the World War II history forum, and I said, okay, these are my grandfather's documents. What can you guys find? And mm-hmm. these are like some, you know, the history buffs, but mm-hmm. they're also, they like researching a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they like researching, and they find information. So like ancestry, genealogy, like you said, Fold3, which mm-hmm. is another military history website. Mm-hmm. Together We Serve. Also, my grandfather's unit. So the first unit mm-hmm. That he was part of before his wounding mm-hmm. Was the 180th Infantry Division. Mm-hmm. Which mm-hmm. was part of the 45th Army Division. Mm-hmm. They have their own website. So I mm-hmm. was able to, and it's a pretty well-known infantry division. They had well-known events happening to them. So I found out through their websites, the 180th Infantry has a website. Mm-hmm. I found out about their history as well. So I was able to piece together, you know, between that, the Army's website. I went to Amazon and I purchased a book about the 348th Infantry Division, the 5th Army Division. Like I purchased, they have these books of unit histories that I purchased, and I read up about them. And it's great because the one I have about the 180th Division by George Fisher goes from like beginning to the present time, and it's great, like all the information that, you know, it's okay, really good.
Well, you know, I was going to say, because you gave great information there. I kind of wanted to recap it, but you know, so ancestry and folds three, and then everybody's, not everybody's, but a lot of the military units have their own websites. Together we served, going to the U.S. Army. And I know that people will say, well, you know, you have to pay for ancestry and fold three, but memberships to some of those databases can be expensive, like Ancestry. But as a member of a public library, very often you can have access to these different databases for free, just if you're a member of the library. So while you were delving in, I mean, you were doing everything. You were the VA and the researcher and all these websites and Ancestry. Did you kind of put yourself in his place? Did you find yourself going down different rabbit holes when you were reading a book or watching? Did you binge watch World War II movies?
I always been watching World War II movies subconsciously, and I was just speaking to my aunt about it. I've always watched World War II movies. I mean, my first rated R World War II movie was Saving Private Ryan in 1998. And I've read about how realistic that was that movie was to veterans that partake in it. But like, even before I found out about my grandfather, the medals and the story, I've been watching World War II movies. I used to spend hours watching World War II documentaries on the History Channel. And, you know, where the past comes alive, like the old History Channel, where black and white documentaries and, you know, watching. I used to look at the old TV guide and look when the next World War II movie was coming up. And I still do. I still read World War II books. I still watch World War II movies. And it does. It really puts you in their shoes between the books and the movies, because they tell the story in different formats. One is reading, you get, you could visualize yourself, and one is visual, which is the, you know, the movies. Like, you're basically, you're seeing what they lived through. Like Anzio, there's a movie called Anzio with I think Robert Mitchum and Teddy Salas. And I saw the movie about basically what my grandfather partook in Anzio. Also, one of the other films about Jesse Owens, about it's called Race. One of his German competitors fought in my, you know, after the Olympics, one of his German competitors fought in my grandfather's battle in World War II. I did not know that until I saw the film. And I was like, wow, a famous German army soldier that went against Jesse Owens fought in the same battle as my grandfather later in World War II. So movies can connect some interesting dots.
Yeah, really. But I wonder if ever you were concerned that you were blending fact and fiction, because, you know, a movie can be a little liberal sometimes on its, you know, what facts it wants to show, or an author slants a book a certain way. Did you ever worry that maybe you were going to mix up your grandfather's real story with fiction?
No. I had a lot of records, that a lot of research was done to his story. A lot of, you know, a lot of research was done to his story. I learned a lot of his story. And I also, you know, was very clear on what he did and what he went through, and just being, you know, being aware of what veterans go through, you know, basically, you know, being, you know, working with veterans, volunteering with veterans. Like I was very well aware. Like, I never served in combat and stuff, but I know that it could, you know, there's after effects, there's, you know, it's a experience, it's a life-changing experience. So, you know, I guess to be in his shoes, I learned a lot, but as far as like, not, you know, I had a clear understanding of what he was in.
Okay.
You know?
Why is it so important to you to have learned this much, gone this in depth to learn your grandfather's story?
Well, I wanted to make sure, you know, like, I just want to backtrack 1 second. Like, as far as being in shoes, I read his letter. He wrote letters when he was in training to his family. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got a sense of his experience through training to mm-hmm. his family,
mm-hmm.
to his family. Like, I got a sense of what he went through mm-hmm. his letters to his family. And he spoke to my grandma and my aunt, his daughter. So he had a dry sense of humor about it. So, you know, he mm-hmm. made light of his situation. It was never any dark humor. It was all dry sense of humor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what you were saying in terms of, could you repeat the question?
Yeah. Why is it so important to you that you got to know more about your grandfather?
Oh, 100%, because I'm his legacy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm his grandson. It's mm-hmm. up to me to continue the story. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, I never met him. I never was privileged to know him, but I'm his grandson. I'm part of his legacy. I'm part of his history. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, it did know me, he's a role model. He's a role model of a life well lived, a life of service, a mm-hmm. life of love to his family. Mm-hmm. He served his country in two different eras. The Great Depression with the United States Civilian Conservation Corps and during World War II with the Army. He's a quintessential American that stepped up to the plate, that had a sense of duty, honor, country. Mm-hmm. He was patriotic. Mm-hmm. He did not question what was going on. He did his duty and he carried on the legacy of, you know, of my family. Like I joined federal service, but I maybe a part of me joined because of him. You know, it's public service is giving back to others, and my grandfather gave back to others, and I'm very proud of him. And you know, a good segue into this is my brother and his wife are expecting a baby, and in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
A boy.
Mm-hmm.
And when that child is born, I want to be able to, when he's older, tell him about his great-grandfather. Angelo.
Yeah.
And then from telling him, he could tell his son. You see, the story carries through generations. And that's one of the benefit of family research, whether it's military or other reasons. That's the benefit of telling the stories. It goes through the generations. It's very important.
Well, you couldn't have said, you said it better than I could have said it. So thank you for that. Your grandfather was the first generation in his family to be born in the States, right? I think you said that right. So his parents came from Sicily, you said, right where he ended up fighting? Were they from
Sicily? So my grandfather came from Naples. This is crazy. So he came from Naples. Mm-hmm. His father fought in the Italian military from 1897 to 1901.
Right.
And he did faithful service in the Italian military, his father. His father came here in 1901, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in 1908, he was naturalized as a U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. He had to renounce the king of Italy. Because back in those days, you had to renounce the king of whatever country you came from.
Yeah, the government. Yeah.
To basically be American citizen. Now, the family was from Naples.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my grandfather, World War II, he's invading Sicily. He fought in the Naples Faroga area. He fought in the same area of where his family immigrated from 40 years, you know, from from the 1940s.
Right. So did he ever, I know you've talked to your aunt about this, who's his daughter, and you guys have speculated about what he must have felt, you know, seeing his parents' homeland through the eyes of a combat soldier. Did he ever talk to his his wife, your grandmother, or your aunt about how that felt to him? Was that kind of, did they ever say anything?
No, he had a sense of duty. He had a sense of duty. His mm-hmm. country was attacked. Mm-hmm. The Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. His country was attacked. And he had a sense of duty, and he did not question it. Mm-hmm. He just went, he did what he was told to do. His country was attacked. He was very proud of his country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was his country. His country,
right.
He lived in here. He had a sense of duty, and he served it. And he had a sense of duty. He did not ever... You know, he didn't talk to it. To him, it was a sense of duty.
Okay. Yeah, he did his job and he came home. Okay. So your grandfather belonged to what is commonly called the greatest generation. You know, and there's a lot of theories why it's the greatest generation. But what is your personal definition of the greatest generation? Why is it great?
Oh, that's easy. The greatest generation. And I remember reading a book about called The Greatest Generation. I think it was Tom Brokaw wrote a book or a video. Duty, honor, country, sense of pride and patriotism. Mm-hmm. This generation, okay, they collectively, their country was attacked to defend their country against annihilation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. Japan and Germany, they were fighting against Japan, Germany, and Italy. And they wanted to take over the world. Mm-hmm. So this greatest generation did not question anything. They did not question. They stepped up duty on the country, despite their differences. And I will say, despite any cultural differences, despite any political, social differences, you know, they stepped up. And it reminds me of an event in my lifetime that happened. I lived in Brooklyn, New York all my life, and I was 12 years old when 9/11 happened, and I lived in Brooklyn, New York, and I remember the sense of patriotism and coming together, unification after we were attacked in America. Now, like I said, generation, you know, we might have our differences, but when collectively we as Americans, such as the greatest generation, are attacked, we come together despite those differences. Because guess what? We're Americans. We're united as Americans. And that's what the greatest generation did. They did not question it. They did what they had to do to defend their homeland, their families, their friends, and to defend their way of life.
So you mentioned that he was a federal worker and he was a family man and he, served both as, you know, in the military and then in the CCC. And then just he was a volunteer for a couple of service organizations as well in New York. I guess I wanted to, and you had already said this, that you said that you might have joined federal service yourself because of his example of serving and helping other people. And so I wanted to switch gears from family history now to talk about, you know, people working for the federal government, because it is, we are civil servants. I think I told you that I retired from working at the VA after 20 years in the Department of Defense. And so service is, you know, in our DNA as well. And I wanted to ask you, would you recommend a federal career to a young person who's just starting out?
Yes, I would definitely recommend federal service for someone starting out. It's mission oriented. It's a sense of fulfillment. Mm-hmm. There's so many federal agencies out there. Mm-hmm. And the federal government has a way about to serve because whether you choose military service or federal service, you're serving. You're serving the government. And there's so many federal agencies out there. From A to Z, Social Security, Homeland Security, the FAA, Federal Aviation Authority, Labor Department, FDA, like the VA.
Yeah.
All these agencies serve a purpose and they help Americans in different areas. You know, the FAA, they regulate the airspace. The VA helps the VA helps the veterans. Homeland Security helps, you know, the homeland. You know, they help so many different areas, and it's mission oriented. What greater job or area there is than a fulfillment than joining a federal agency? And it has a pension, which is unheard of in the private sector. They have great health benefits, and you have a good salary, and it could become a lifelong career for you, a lifelong career for those that are interested. You know, I read about a lot of the younger generation want a meaningful career. They want a career where they can make a difference and they feel they're giving back. And I tell you now, you know, I'm a federal employee for 8 years now between the VA and DHS. And I just love it. I honestly, 8 years, and I, you know, it's meaningful work, one that I'm very proud of. And I would like to think I'm continuing that service from my my grandfather, who, you know, served as well.
Well, so let's talk about, you've just talked about a lot of the pros. There are some cons, though, in federal service. One of them is the getting through USA Jobs, the application process. So for anyone out there who is thinking about getting into the federal government, I think this is still true. You need to register on the usajobs.gov website. So usajobs.gov website, because most of, if not all of the federal jobs are out there. It takes a little bit of doing, you know, it's a long process to set up your resume just right. And it takes a bit of time to get hired. It took me almost 10 months to get into one of the jobs I was hired for. So you have to be patient. Sometimes it's really quick. You know, the federal government has a list of things. I know that during COVID, they had all sorts of things they needed that were COVID related. And if there's a shortfall somewhere, they're looking. What was your experience for working for the federal government? Did it take a long time or was it pretty quick for you?
It was semi around that time frame that you mentioned in your experience with the VA. It took me, so I became a nursing timekeeper in the Department of Veterans Affairs in Brooklyn, New York. And it took me about 6 months to get hired, but the key word is patience. You would hear both people inside and outside the government, is the key word with the government is patience. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be fast. It's going to take time because there's processes that need to be done, you know, background and the paperwork that needs to be done, because depend upon what
you froze. You have totally froze, Christian. Well, we seem to have lost Christian, so I would just like to say it's been a very interesting conversation so far. We've enjoyed talking with Christian, and I thank him for coming on. We'll see if we can get him on another time. But once again, this has been Circe Olson-Westner, and I am the director of the Museum of the American Military Family, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been brought to you by the museum and are supported in part by New Mexico Arts, the New Mexico Humanities Council, Sandia Area Credit Union, and organizations like Military Brat Seal and Military Brats Registry. And I'd like to thank Christian for coming on today. And it's been a pleasure talking to him, and we'll have to have him back sometime.